The views and opinions expressed in the Golden Boot Podcast are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Golden Boot Podcast as a whole.
Y'all ready to get rolling? Quiet on the set. Hey, welcome back. Another hot episode of HBCU. It's your boy Poop. I got my man Ant Petty Murphy in the building. Durag Ant is out the building. No, he left.
Shout out to my barber Randy from coming back from vacation.
Oh man.
That two-week vacation he take every summer, man.
It'd be hard on me.
Yeah, because like everybody try to rush and come in, you know, before he leaves, so you can't get in.
Twin.
Then he gone for 2 weeks, so if you don't
where get have in, you been?
It's old, it's rough.
Nobody knows me. You be doing that with your boy, like, thank you.
My homeboy told me I should just go get cut up by somebody else, but I just can't do that, but I just...
I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I've had to do that before. It just don't feel good. It feels bad when you know what I'm saying? It's like the sharpness. You be comparing everybody else to your barber. People like, you would have cut my hair better than that.
I just can't do it, bro.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you one time when Jay Sean and Dylan, they were young. Dylan was like 3 or 4. Jay Sean was like 11, 12. And we were in a rush. My barber was, you know, so it was a Saturday. We had to get cut. So we went on base to get cut, right?
Mm.
We got cut. They did, it looked good. It was nice. 30 minutes, all three of us done. We out of there. Jay Sean was like, why was it so quick? And I was like, well, they have to get everybody in and then say in and out, yeah. You know. And I said, plus, you know, they don't necessarily, I said, they do a nice job. He said, yeah, it's nice. It's nice. It's nice. But it just ain't as crisp. They just ain't used to it.
They don't put their pride in their work, man.
Man, listen, man, I go to the barber 9. It'll take me an hour just for one of us.
Talk about, you know, whatever the latest most controversial sports topic is for about 30 minutes in the middle of your haircut too.
Man, I'll be sending you go on base and get a haircut. All you got is Fox News and buzzing. That's all you got. If Fox News be on the TV and I'm like, all right, number 43, you next. So you don't even get to pick your barber there. You got to go whoever.
Yeah, whoever next. Yeah.
But man, we got a good one tonight, man. We're gonna continue our preview show. Y'all know what I've been saying every week. I'm gonna figure out who lying. Somebody gotta step it up. No, we heard some outlandish things on here. I'm just saying, if your school, as long as your school play their brand of football, you know what I'm saying? I understand you might win, but we're gonna see. We got a good one. We got Grambling in the building. We got Bethune. I'm expecting to bounce back from both teams. I'm expecting to bounce back. So,
well, at least we can. We ain't got to worry about, you know, putting belts on cars no more or nothing like that. You know what I mean? We done with that era. That chapter is closed. We know we moving on.
I ain't gotta be nice no more. That man ducked us 2 years in a row at SWAT Media Day. You run around with them tights on and you can't even come to our table and talk to, man, get out of here. Little bit ass tights you got on running around here. Hugh to Hugh. What up, Maul? Hey, I miss when Maul the other night. I told Maul he got cussed.
Yeah, yeah. He don't watch us. Yeah, I think that.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that we can talk about Gremlin without talking about the belt. You know what I mean?
I tell you what, if Mickey Joseph or Dooley show up in some tights, I'm talking bad about them. I'm telling you, I'm talking bad about them. If your suit is all yellow, I'm talking bad about you.
If you change three times during Swag Media Days,
I'm talking about. As a matter of fact, if your shirt snapped between the legs, I'm talking about you. I'm not saying that he did it, but it could have been. He was already wearing tights. I'm just saying.
You took that one too.
I mean, he better bring your ass to our table and holler at us. You know what I'm saying? After you say, yeah, we'll come by there. We'll come holler at you. You better not do that. All right, man. Let's go ahead. We got me riled up tonight. Let me see who gonna do some line. Let's go ahead and give a shout out to our sponsors over at BetOnline. BetOnline.ag. We'll be back in 1 minute.
BetOnline.ag is your number one source for all your sports information, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds, lines, and player injury reports for this year's NBA and NHL playoffs. BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters. This season, we have you covered for all your sports wagering needs. We have everything from NBA, NFL, MLB, and NHL to golf, tennis, UFC, and boxing. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games that you can play right from your home. Head on over to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Be sure to use the promo code BLEAV to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hey, we get to welcome back at least one half of the duo from Hell Wildcats. Mr. Jerry Bell, thank you for joining us again. And also, for the first time, Onaje O.J. Morris, radio host at 97.7 Sports Talk and play-by-play commentator for Grambling. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. Appreciate y'all being here.
Appreciate it. I got a quick question for you.
Yes, sir. What you got?
Man, I heard y'all talking about going to the barbershop and how, you know, Ant got a complex, man. I thought he was Bumpy from the movie Hoodlum. Remember the man had that like, what you got going on, Ant? Do I need to be on video with you with this going on?
Nah, man. Nah, it ain't nothing like that, man. Nothing like that.
Get hit in the eye like Rick Ross or something messing with you, hanging with you on. Gotta watch my back.
Nah, man, that was crazy though. I saw that Rick Ross stuff. That was crazy, man. That was crazy.
Hey, they I don't think Bethune liked that too much. You know, they got Rick Ross son. They got Big Boy Patton got his son now. They might make a better rap video in the locker room than fam. I'm just saying, they might do that. We'll see.
We'll see.
Oh, man.
Hey, but appreciate you coming back, Mr. Jerry. OJ, man, thank you for joining us, man. Appreciate you coming through.
Hey, appreciate you guys calling me in. Hey, it's a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't even know where to start.
I know where to start.
Go ahead, Ant.
All right, so like I just said, OJ, that chapter of the book is closed. The Hugh Jackson chapter is over with. What's your thoughts about that chapter and Grambling moving forward with Mickey Joseph?
Well, there's a lot of things. I mean, I think from it starts all the way back from Fobbs, and I think it really also starts with the direction of where the SWAC was going, Deion Sanders and all this popularity that it was growing. So when you have to understand, once we got rid of Fobbs, you have to see what the field was like. They were seeing what Jackson State was doing. They were seeing what, at the time, what Bethune-Cookman was doing with bringing Ed Reed in at the time. But, you know, that kind of fizzled out. But at the same time, a lot of people were bringing big faces in. And Grambling was it's always been a big face in football. So I feel like in that aspect, they try to keep up with the times instead of trying to do what we usually do is play football. And the best thing to do is to not really catch the limelight of celebrities and all that, is get winners. And I think in this situation, we kind of rebutted. We saw what we did. We tried it 2 years. It was supposed to be four. It didn't work out. They cut it short. Now they're getting back into the program of finding a guy that's more about football, not about the aesthetics of everything and how everything might look and how flashy everything is, or the popularity. Winning will bring popularity regardless, you know, no matter how good we look or how bad we look. If we winning, that's going to bring everything that everybody else really wanted to come to Grambling. So I think as far as the era, I think that we tried something that just wasn't that worked for other people, but that didn't work for us. And it's understandable because we're always have been about football. Eddie Robinson was never too much of a flashy guy. He played football. He was about the games. He was about winning. And that's what we are, and that's who we always been. So I think that we've learned a lesson, and I think that Mickey Joseph is a great avenue to really start a re-life, to breathe more life into Grambling as far as we lost it in the sense of these last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. One thing I can say, Grambling's brand speaks for itself. Whether it be from, you know, the Eddie Robinson or the Bayou Classic, everybody, I mean, Grambling, like I said, it speaks for itself. The last few years, Grambling was a caricature with, you know what I'm saying, with some of the stuff that was kind of going on. And that ain't sit right with a lot of people.
Yeah. Honestly, it's a lot of storylines from it as well. Like, from when Fobbs left, the record that we had, that we went on with Hugh Jackson first year, we went on to have similar record. We didn't have anything better. The last year we went 5-6. We saw a little bit deeper difference. Like, Grambling is usually a defensive team and have been prior to last year. Last year, our defense didn't look like the strong point. The offense was actually kicking up a bit. So things are starting to change around. I feel like as far as Grambling, our identity has been so clear before, but right now it's not. And they're getting back into that uniform identity, into that traditional style, playing football and all that stuff. Because right now where we're at is not where we want to be. It's definitely not. But at the same time, they are making moves. And for the trajectory of the future for this program, I think they're in good hands. I think that we tried something. It didn't work. They got out of it before it could have gone worse, or it build up even more for where he stayed longer. It just something that didn't work out. I wish the best for him over there at Georgia State University. You know, he just got picked up over there. But as far as us in the relationship of it, it's no ill matter. I wouldn't say like I have a hate in my heart or anything. I just feel like it didn't work. I feel like that was something we tried. On the contrary, he tried to make it work as well. It just didn't. So I think there's a lot of things that we could get into when it comes to that.
Yeah. I got my jokes, you know, since talking about him and his tights, you know what I'm saying? But you know, so I can respect him as a person, you know what I'm saying, and as a coach and stuff. But everybody get these jokes. Nobody's safe. Coach Woody ain't come by our table last year either. Nah. but kind of on the same note as that, Jared Bethune-Cookman, y'all said it last year. If y'all gonna get us, you better get your licks in, because you know what I'm saying, things could change. Coach Woody came in and he made a little bit of noise. To us, you know what I'm saying? I guess I say the feel from, you know what I'm saying, what it was last year.
Yeah, it definitely felt different. And, you know, Coach Woody, you say he came in, you know, let's not forget he came in after National Signing Day. And so he came in on the back of all of that turmoil, as OJ mentioned, you know, kind of like the trend that was going on throughout the SWAC. We brought in a celebrity guy that didn't work out. You know, I can't speak for Grambling. I can speak for Bethune. I assume Grambling has some of this. Is that Bethune's it's a unique place, right? I mean, you know, obviously for those of you, I know you guys look outside of just one team, you look outside of the SWAC, you know, that Bethune has a history of winning, but it is a unique situation. I mean, we're the only private school in the SWAC. And so, you know, it's not that we don't have facilities, but our facilities situations are unique. You know, we share facilities with the city and that sort of thing. So to bring Coach Woody in, you get a guy who understands the culture, a guy who understands what it takes to win at that university, not just to win anywhere, you know, being a former player and that sort of thing. And so he come in and, you know, really kind of put his stamp on the program as it relate to how he wants things done. We saw that last year. When you look around, he didn't have all the horses to get it done. But, you know, that's starting to change now that he's gone through a full recruiting cycle. And you're starting to see why he was voted as the best recruiter when he was out in the Pac-12. And the best recruiter, second best recruiter in the ACC when he was over there. And so you're starting to see him now, last year, put his stamp on the program. Now he's starting to bring in the type of athletes that can not only carry on the culture, but can actually produce on the field and win some football games.
Yeah. So, obviously, it was kind of a wins and losses. I'm not going to really go off that, but I think it was a successful year for Bethune because, like you said, Coach Woody established that culture. He laid that foundation for what his tenure there is going to be like. Would you agree that it was kind of a successful year in that right, regardless of what the wins and loss record looked like?
Yeah, I think it was a successful year. As I mentioned last year to you guys, I considered last year as a year zero, not even as a year one. It was just, again, at the end of the day, you're known by your wins and losses. I get all of that. But peeking behind the veil and knowing all the things that was going on in that program, all the things going on in the university and administration at the time, just looking, Coach Woody has been able to come in and bring a sense of stability there to lay a foundation. And I think him being able to rally the fan base, him being able to get the community involved again, you see that with donors now starting to give again. We get this, you know, a donation over $1 million from one single individual. That individual has given to Bethune-Cookman in the past. He's given large gifts like that. But there was such a fracture between the university and the community that those sorts of things weren't happening anymore. So now you see money flowing into the program. I know Grambling has the 1904 icon with the NIL. Bethune, we have a 1923. So you see NIL around Bethune. You see people pouring into the NIL. So those things just weren't happening before. You see, just as last week, Coach Woody had a 7-on-7 tournament in Florida. And I don't know how big that is in other states, but in the state of Florida, if you're not doing 7-on-7s in the summer, you're losing, because everyone else is. And that's where you build the relationship with the high school coaches. That's where you build the relationship with those athletes. So they had they had 25 teams in that 7-on-7 in the first year. The day after, they still put on a skills camp and had another 500 kids there. So you're successful, absolutely. I think we'll see the results on the field. We'll start to see improvement happening. But to this point, the success is that the foundation is being laid, the ideas about the university, kids being interested again, all of those things are happening behind the scene. And I think that's just I think that's an overwhelming success.
Yeah. You muted, bro.
Every time. We ain't did but 300 and some episodes. But anyway, you talked about, Jerry, you talked about relationships and relationship building. So, OJ, I'm going to come to you. Y'all head coach, Mickey Joseph, major relationships in Louisiana area and all across the South, especially, with, you know, being at different stops and stuff. How have you seen that be an impact on Grambling?
So far, I mean, I can even give you an example of, because at Grambling, I have students like we have getting into commentation and stuff like that. And his first press conference and stuff, I had some students come over there and interview. He sat and answered. Even some of them was repetitive. Like some of my students asked the same. He sat there and answered every question and calm, poised. And that's something that it's nothing on Hugh Jackson, but we haven't had in a while. somebody that'll take the time out for just not just for the big things, but everything as far as Grambling that trickles down into it. So I think even the way he showed his character in that proves so much to me, because that was just my first time ever meeting him. And I take in things like that of how they react towards even our school media and how they react to the local news media and then the bigger like ESPN and all that stuff. Do they treat everybody the same? Is there a little bit of a difference? And you could tell with Mickey Joseph that he's actually devoted and taking that time with everybody. And that was just from the people that he did know. He didn't have to have practice with every day. So you can only imagine what he's doing with the players and stuff. And everything that I've heard is a lot of people that are inside haven't been able to go to any of the practices yet, because I've been out in California. But for the most part, from everything that I'm hearing and everything I know about Mickey Joseph, is that he is – it's more about business. And you guys can realize when Hugh Jackson got in, there was a lot more noise. Everybody was talking about Graham. There was a lot more images. There was a lot more things that it was with Mickey Joseph right now. You can't find nothing. They're working. They're building, they're rebuilding, they're getting everything together and stuff. He's not here to play. He's not here for the antics. He's not here for anything else. And that proves a lot in his coaching, and that's who he's been even when he was at LSU. You got to look at the guys that he has. I mean, him being a head coach now, he brings so much of that attraction from LSU and everything else that he's done now to Grambling. And now that's going to bring players wanting to come in. That's going to bring fans wanting to come in. That's when, like you said, money being rolled in as well. That's all important factors towards Grambling. So I feel like his coaching style and everything that comes along with it, it's not anything of the antics or anything really shiny. He's going to get it all done, but it's not going to be on the top of mountain scream. It's just going to be done. And by the time we notice it, we're already at the top of the pinnacle. So I think that he's got a lot of work to do. Like you said, year zero, this is going to be year zero for him. But I feel like there's so much potential and so much he could bring out of this university and a lot of people that he could bring into it as well.
Yeah. I know you talked about last year, the defense not really being a strong suit, even though they had guys like Sundiata, Lewis Matthews, and guys like that on their defense. But those guys are no longer here. So who is Mickey Joseph going to be looking at on the defensive side of the ball as kind of the guys who could lead them this year, do you think?
I think that he's going to rely really on the linebacking core. I saw a little bit of their recruitment. The main thing I wanted from the recruitment, honestly, I kind of be a little biased. I wanted more of a quarterback. We only brought in one quarterback in our recruitment from what I saw, but – overall, I think that we'll have guys like Trent Henry and stuff probably coming back and it being more of a reliable factor. But I think really what we need is not too much of players that we're looking for. I think that there's a lot of Grambling, there's always surprise players, because I've done this before where we'll go out there and look and like, oh, that player will be, you know, but it never turns out that way. Yeah. Like even Sonny. I mean, Sonny came out when he was first coming out. He was a great player, but to the heights that he went, he's grown so much and he's done so much. So even beforehand, it's so hard to predict. But I think for Grambling to have a good year this year, their defensive back core has to get better. Safeties and corners. I mean, we were getting brutalized a lot of times in those situations. It was because of a misplacement of the safeties getting beat deep and all that other stuff. So I think the main focus, Mickey Joseph coming in, we've had an offense and didn't have much of an offense, but offense has been the game, and that's what you have to have in this game, is a little bit of passing game, a little bit of running. Defense is not good enough. We've seen Grandma have a really good defense and not have a good enough offense and have terrible years. It's just how it happens. Now, last year, we had a little bit of a better year. 5-6, almost made it above 500. But our offense was a little bit better. That's why we won a little bit more games. We was able to pass the ball a little bit more. We was able to run the ball, just our running attack. So I think with Mickey Joseph, he's an offensive kind of guy coming in. We all knew that. But Grambling has the defense. We just have to keep it up on the defensive backs. And I know we got a lot of them. Just who's going to pop out? I just hope all of them, honestly. Yeah.
All right, Jared. I want to ask this. Last year, you know, we talked about, you know, Coach Woody. I actually talked to him during, like, I think a SEC teleconference. Typically, a team takes on the identity of their coach. Strong defensive team. Kept y'all in a lot of games. It was some games I thought y'all was going to pull the upset. Offensively, though, it's kind of what held y'all back? How have y'all improved offensively over the offseason?
I was hoping you asked me the defensive question.
Oh,
so no, you're right on the defensive side. Very, you know, defensive head coach, you know, mature staff over there. The offense is the question mark this year. It is still a question mark. I think, you know, optimistically, or not even optimistically, realistically, when you look at Bethune, you don't come in and say, do you go from, you know, the third worst offense in the SWAC to the third best? I don't think they need to make that type of improvement. What they need to do is become middle of the pack. They can become middle of the pack offensively. Now, of course, you want to shoot for the top, but if they can improve to be middle of the pack, the biggest question mark, in all honesty, on offense aren't any of the players. I mean, we need some players, don't get me wrong. The biggest question mark on offense is our offensive coordinator. He's a Division III guy. He played exclusively Division III football. And then he turned around and coached Division III football at the same university. So he is a Northeastern guy who played Division III football, coached Division III football. Last year was his first time playing against Division I scholarship athletes, first time coaching against them. And so everybody that talks to him, if you sit down and talk to him, you put him on a whiteboard, he has a brilliant offensive mind. He impresses everyone. But on the whiteboard, you get to determine where that cornerback's going to sit. You get to determine, you know, your guy always get a seal in the alley on a whiteboard. But when you got to put rubber to road, he just doesn't have the experience yet to be able to make those tweaks, those in-game adjustments. Kind of the exact opposite of Hugh last year, right? Who knew all of the tricks and could scheme anything open. And so the biggest jump I want to see from the offense is for the offensive coordinator to show that he has grown and adapted to the Division I game. As far as helping us on the field, we played with our fourth and fifth string quarterback for most of last year. Third and fourth, if you want to exaggerate. The two guys that we thought would start for us, or that were competing to start, was a guy by the name of Cam Ransom, who wound up not getting cleared by the NCAA last year, and then Luke Sprott. Luke was hurt the whole year. He played in 11 quarters for the entire year. Total. 11 quarters. Quarter here, two quarters there. So hurt for most of the season. Well, those two guys are both available to us now and healthy. And then we bring in a guy who was recruited by everybody out of high school, a guy by the name of Makai Bowens from Bishop Gorman out in Las Vegas. Everybody, you know high school football, you know that program.
Yes, sir.
So out of high school, it was Miami and Penn State. He chose Penn State. Wind up transferring because it seemed like what was the quarterback name up at Penn State? Sean. Last name start with a C. Cliff, whatever his name. He was there forever. So he wound up transferring out, going to Oklahoma. But that tells you, I mean, you're talking about Miami and Penn State out of high school. You transfer into a Oklahoma, and now he has a landing spot at Bethune to see if he can actually go out there, win a starting job, compete. So I think if we get an upgrade at the quarterback position, we certainly have an upgrade in talent at the running back position. I mean, a huge upgrade at the running back position where we if there's a talent deficiency on the field, I think there might be we need a couple of linemen. I still think we need some linemen, and we don't have a solid number one at wide receiver. So we're really depending on transfer guys, and even at receiver, you know, you're hoping that maybe one of these freshmen can step in, but they got to have a guy. We don't have a guy at receiver yet, a guy. I'm not talking about decent dudes or good dudes who are worthy to start. I'm talking about a guy who, you know, on third down and seven, where the ball's going, you know, a guy who can win consistently. We haven't proven that we have that on offense yet at wide receiver. Offensive line, I'll be happy if you know, to see how we gel there. I think the running game will be better. I think we'll be better at quarterback. So if we can just get up to middle of the road, I think we'll be okay on offense.
Yeah. Jerry, I hope you don't throw your headset, but Kevin Rosie says, I love the FAMU headset, Jerry Ware.
You know what? when I pulled this thing out, I said, you know what? I got another one over here I'm about to put on. My Bluetooth was giving me problems. That was the technical issues. So I used the gaming headset. Of course, Kevin would say that, you know. Kelvin last week was also talking about them going 11-1 and Troy got to watch out and all that sort of thing. So we taking his words with a grain of salt right now. But he all right with me. He a good dude. So I'm a proudly rock.
All right, go ahead, Ant.
So OJ, offensively for y'all, obviously last year you get the quarterback transfer Crowley to come in. Which kind of helped the passing game some. You still had obviously the stable of running backs with Chalk and all those guys, Landon Rash, Dickerson, and all those guys that receive. You had some weapons on offense, and like you said, you was able to do things. You lose some of those guys, and you lose the offensive staff. What do you expect to see offensively this year from Graham?
Oh, I think especially how last year went. And knowing Mickey Joseph, of course, we're going to keep a balance between our running and our passing game. But I'm thinking we're going to take the skies a lot more often. We're going to be able to pass the ball more often. I think that's why Mickey Joseph was brought in, to try to change this program around. Of course, the running game has been good for a long time, for quite some time, especially when our passing game has been down. Last year, we've been able to have three running backs pretty much and put them in, and they play the same way. I mean, or even better, sometimes you'll trade, put one in, and they just play it. Just, we had so many options receiver-wise. We was being able to bring guys from the bench and be able to play good, solid minutes. I mean, this is a team that has an offense that's been building. So I think Mickey Joseph has just been the final plug to really build an empire for this offense where we can pass the ball more often. Our defense is just something that's always been there. I feel like that's something we're not going to put too much of a focus on. If it needs some things to pin pass, we will. But our offense, and of course, I mean, how can I speak about the offense without talking about Dooley? I mean, he's been in the
swag. That was my next question.
He's been in the swag for quite some time. I mean, a lot of people know, and I hate to admit it myself, but when he went to PVA&M, we did not beat them once. We didn't beat them. We couldn't beat them. I mean, it was one time I saw a running back put up almost 200 yards at halftime. I mean, he has a certain game to him. At Southern, even at Southern, he was able to play the way that what he wants. But you now have Mickey Joseph and Eric Dooley together. Like, this is something that's different. Eric Dooley usually has been the offensive mind, has been the guy in the lead. But now he has somebody that's just on the same level. Literally. So I think that within the players as well, the players is going to be a big factor. But like you said, it's going to be in that coaching. The coaching is very important, and it's been very important. Is where it led us to where we're at now. But I think that it's also going to lead us to the top if we allow it, everything to go how it is. I mean, it looks pretty beautiful if you stack it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Dooley, because that was actually going to be my next question. The elephant in the room. I don't think there's a question that Dooley can call an offense. I think it's everybody's going to get kind of hung up, I guess, on the last 2 years about the quarterback decision and picking the right quarterback and stuff. And I guess the question is, who ultimately makes that call? Is it going to be Mickey or is it going to be Dooley? And I mean, I know they worked together before. Can they really coexist?
Yeah. I honestly, I think that in this situation, if you were to ask me, Mickey Joseph is the head coach. And Mickey Joseph, I mean, let's look at it. Joe Burrow, that's one name you could just pull up and that's it. That's it. You don't even have to bring anybody else to say, because there's not too many people on that caliber. I feel like if Mickey Joseph feels strongly away, I feel like it would probably be his call. But I think that in this case, he could have brought in a lot of people. He brought Eric Dooley along because he believes that they can coexist. Mickey Joseph seems is too much of a calculated guy to look at this and sit back and know that he's going to be with Grambling for a few years. And to be with somebody that you know you could coexist with is something that you want to do from the jump. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it as a hypothetical. Maybe I could work with this guy. Most of the time it's a say so final. So I think that they could work together. I think that if anything pulled shove, that Mickey Joseph will make the call. But I don't think that either way that it will be a problem. I think that they both came understanding that, you know, Mickey Joseph, this is his head coaching job, and that and that Dooley is coming on to be an offensive coordinator. But at the same time, they can very much coexist. Both of them can make calls within this offense to make it work. But I think that it's not about who's – I don't think it's about a singular mind with Eric Dooley or Mickey Joseph. I think that them combined is really where we're going to see the magic and the sparks fly.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah, I think some guys just – my bad, Poop. I think
you good.
Some guys just ain't meant to be number one. They just meant to be a number two. And I think that could be the case with Dooley. He just meant to be offensive coordinator. I mean, that ain't necessarily a bad thing, you know. Some people are just better at not being the guy.
And even if this, I mean, Dooley hasn't done a terrible job, but I think in a sense of after this, he may become in a sense where he is a better head coach, where he might find himself back in a head coaching position because the success that him and Mickey Joseph may create. So this creates plenty of opportunities for Gramlin, for Dooley, for Joseph, for, I mean, everybody. It's a big deal. So I'm pretty excited for this season of year zero, but I think that what comes along after that will be truly, truly exciting.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. Miles Crawley. I've seen him at Alabama State. We've seen him, saw him last year. Arguably for the first probably month and a half of the season, he was the best quarterback in HBCU football.
Yeah.
No question.
No doubt about it.
I'm not, and people gonna say, you know, because I know some people had issue, you know, what about Davis Richard? I'm not saying that Davis wasn't playing Davis ball at that time. Miles Crawley was lighting it up, and then all of a sudden something happened, play calling looked different.
I feel like the where it really happened to me was the Alabama State game. Mm-hmm. When he went and played against Alabama State, I think that game did something. So I think that it just did something to the team. I don't know what that Miles Crawley, they were able to get into his head. And I saw he was having a great season. We were already about like six games in. I mean, he was tearing it up, touchdowns every game. I mean, he'll have a great completion percentage every game. I mean, things was going well until that Alabama State game. It's kind of like, I think Mobile was cursed because even us in the commentary booth, we were having a hard time. We ended up calling the game from a stairwell. But anyway, that's the from the contrary of it, I think that game really changed him. I think that maybe an injury. Everything was very hushed from us as well, as far because we that's how it kind of was when Hugh Jackson was around. It wasn't, I don't think it was anything too much to spiteful, but it was just everything that was happening within the team. It was only bits and pieces we was able to get from it. So after that game, it was very quiet. It was very, I feel like it changed the whole season around, that Alabama State game for me. So it's a lot of questions that's still out there, even I have, but at the same time that we see what he can be.
Right.
We know that.
Completely agree.
He's a quarterback. He could throw it. I mean, he's been the best quarterback we've had. And I mean, I'm not saying that he's on the level of him, but that's the best quarterback I'll say we've had since Kincaid. And that's honestly true. Ever since then, we've been kind of cycling him out. We've been having trouble finding somebody with what we've been actually really comfortable with. That was our first time for quite a long time that we were comfortable with a quarterback. And I'm not saying that that ends because of that. I'm just saying that when they show you sparks, that means that there can be flames as well. So we have to keep our eyes open and just understand that things happen. Everybody has a certain situation. It's not always a player as well. It could be coaching. It can be injuries. This could be a whole list of things. But I feel like his potential is truly high. I feel like, you know, things that has happened. We can't hold our heads anymore. I think that there's a lot more potential left and there's a lot more in the tank. Can't look at that and, you know, and shame him too much, but I understand, you know, things happen.
Yeah, that's a bar too. You see sparks, there's, you know, saying there could be flames. Yeah, I like that. Mr. Jackson said Bama State in that Mobile cooking. First of all, y'all gonna start talking about Mobile bad. That's y'all go to the wrong parts.
Speaking of Alabama State, Mr. Jerry, last year that was one of them games, that and the week before against Jackson State, where you could say that y'all kind of let them off the hook, so to speak. How do you go from, you know, those close one possession losses to trying to turn those into wins?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta win them to know you can. that's the easy answer. Both those games hurt because we had the ball with an opportunity to take the lead at the end. With Bama State, we had a first and goal. You know, got a turnover at the end, first and goal, and just couldn't pull it off. So you're right. That's what this team's got to learn how to do. They got to learn to win those games, or as coaches famously like to say, you got to learn to finish, right? Yeah. And so some of that is, again, some of that's culture. You know, more of that is execution. It's when you get into those pressure point situations. I'll tell you this, the team was extremely fractured, you know, when Coach Woody took over. Mm-hmm. The level of cohesiveness that they have right now in brotherhood is pretty strong right now. So I think you'll see a lot more of, you know, you kind of get in those close games, and instead of looking around for an excuse, I think you'll see a lot more of those guys playing together, coming together. That coupled with the fact that we got some better players this year. I mean, at the end of the day, all that other stuff is cute and good and all that. You know, you got to have Johnnies and Joes. So we have better players this year. I mean, we got some guys you can turn around, hand the ball off to, and they can make the first guy miss. We didn't have that last year at all. I mean, at all, you know. And so at all, our running back room, Grambling had six offensive weapons that were better than anything we had on our team last year. It was an embarrassment of riches. It really was. And you know, I'll answer your question, but I come back. I got a different question for OJ. I might need to ask offline about what was going on with Grambling, because even when we were there last year, when the game was over, everybody, you know, there was some beef between the two teams, but the locals jumped on our side, and there was some beef between the locals and the team that was, you know, maybe he'll talk about that off air. So it seemed like there was a lot going on in the Hugh era that I'm just throwing gossip out there. That's all I'm doing right now. Since I don't have the answer for our offense, but we do have better offensive weapons. We have more options this year. Yeah. Again, we got three guys now. Again, to start, it's at the quarterback position. You know, I think you got the guy who started quarterback last year in that game is now playing cornerback. You know, and so I think you get an upgrade at the quarterback spot. That trickles down. It makes everybody better, makes everybody more confident. You're not grabbing for straws. You can figure out, you know, what works for you and an identity of your team. We just didn't have that last year. I think we're getting more into that. But again, it's not until you get on the field and prove that you can do it. Do I have any real confidence in it? But I think we're close.
Now, Mr. Jerry.
Yes, sir.
You said you wanted a defense question. Let's talk about the defense.
Let's talk about it.
All right. So apparently that's the side of the ball y'all gonna hang your hat on. That's gonna carry this team. What gives you so much confidence in this defense? Is it the personnel? Is it just from what you saw last year? But what is it?
It's all of it. I mean, schematically, we couldn't even get into everything that we wanted to do last year. We saw some of it, but we couldn't get into everything. Robert Wembley, Alabama A&M guy, great defensive mind, great track record of success. He was up at Liberty, had them producing one of the best defenses in the country when he was up at Liberty. He come here last year. What the first thing that you see when you watch defense, Bethune-Cookman play defense last year, is that they were sound. That's the first thing you want when you defense, right? Everybody's lined up in the right spot. Everybody's running to the ball. They were extremely sound. We get most of our defense back this year. And so it's not just teaching the fundamentals of what you want now. Now you can build on that and start adding some of your exotic packages in. You started now. Last year we had we were actually undermanned personnel wise, to be honest with you, last year on defense. We had a corner playing linebacker all year, Shelton Quarles Jr., the corner slash nickel. He was our starting linebacker last year because we didn't have any. The other linebacker right next to him is 190 pounds when he got rocks in his pocket. Well, he can play, Darius Thomas. Well, now we actually got some linebackers that look like linebackers to go with those guys, right? Guys who have snaps at the Power Five level. You know, guys coming from California who look the part, who play fast, who have starts at this level. I'm not talking about one or two starts. I'm talking about 20 starts. You know, you get a bunch of guys that beef up. Now you got 220-pound linebackers. That helps you in your run fields and your and all that sort of thing. So guys aren't going backwards. We got guys now. We had our defensive line comes back almost in totality. We lost two guys. One went to FIU. But we're replacing them now with guys who have bend. Like Oren Patu. Circle that guy's name. He's an edge guy. He has – I'm trying to give him a comparative. His bend is unbelievable. Like, he's a dude that gets around that edge and under control, full speed. It's a different – it's not just good players on the off. Now, all of a sudden, you got those guys who – you can have a defensive end and you can have an edge player, and that's not the same thing. Right? You know, at defensive end, kind of do a little bit of everything, play his position, play his role and all of that. But a true edge is a skill player. You know, that's a skill player on the defensive line. Oren Patu is a quick twitch difference maker who you have to know where that guy's lining up. On the other side, you got another guy who he's not quite as bendy, but he's pretty close to it. A guy by the name of Dallas Corbett, who came from UCF. So now we're starting to add guys. We got Raymond Woody Jr., who's, you know, 30, 40 starts at the Division I level. He's now in the back end. So what we're adding to is you had a defense that was very sound, very solid, with very good players. Well, now you've added beef to it. You've added guys who are difference makers and playmakers. So I think this defense has an opportunity to be one of the top. I expect this defense to be top three in the SWAC. If not one of the best, one or two in the conference.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to throw this out there. We close to 1K, man. Y'all do us a favor, hit that subscribe. If you like what you're seeing, hit the subscribe. If you don't like it, subscribe, come back and tell us why you don't like it. We take that too. Go ahead.
Oh, I also wanted to mention a lot of y'all asked me of like the season last year and stuff. I meant like as far as Alabama State, that was like a turning point for me. Yeah. There's plenty of turning points in that season. I want to clarify that because we did lose homecoming. We lost against Alcorn State at their homecoming, a 1-point game.
That's the one I thought was the turning point. In my opinion, that was the turning point.
Well, that one, so to me, I feel like that one was a defensive turning point.
Gotcha. Nah, to me, the defensive turning point was this one right here.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever that young man from Alabama,
that, no, ran, that was that's what I'm saying. That was the beginning of the end because that next week, that was the Alabama A&M game.
And so, that man ran for 200 yards against them.
We were up pretty much the whole game against Alcorn, and then they scored at the end, the last quarter they scored, and that was game. We lost by 1 point, but that next week we then give up 45 at home and homecoming. That's what I'm saying. That was Alcorn State was the beginning of the end because they came into that game with that same draggy energy, the same way they was playing before. It was almost. And then after that, the offense was trying to carry this weight. And then Alabama State happened. I feel like that's when it really everything, the whole ship crashed. And it just like, and that, like, as you said, a lot of people, it was. There's a lot of things happening within the Grambling community because you can watch it all on television. You can watch it. You see it. You're not, and when you're at the games, this is not something that's hidden. You're watching it. You're seeing the relationships between the coaches and the players and the coaches and the fans and all that. It makes a difference. And I think Mickey Joseph, he's an ideal face to be able to bridge all that together, to niche it together. So I wanted to kind of clarify on that one.
I know Jay White in here. I absolutely hated Grambling for losing that game to Alabama A&M that way, because I had so much faith in Maynard and Alabama A&M after that, just for them to go into the Magic City Classic and make me look like a fool.
You should have known, like, no disrespect to that quarterback, Xavier Langford.
Yeah.
But no disrespect to him. But he run like Byron Leftwich. And that man ran for 200 yards against Grambling, dog.
Yeah, no, that was, I mean.
You should have known damn well that wasn't crazy. Alabama State defense, dog.
The backup quarterback too. This is not even
Casey.
This is backup quarterback. Like,
you had a one happened against Alabama State, dog.
You said what?
I said he should have known that wasn't happening against Alabama.
I thought the offense was just like, oh, the offense is gonna be clicking. You know, so you don't know what they're gonna do.
He had more rushing yards than passing.
Yeah,
like 100 and like
y'all made Byron Leftwich look like Michael Vick.
Man, I had complaints about our passing defense. Our rushing just disappeared that day. Yeah, he was just taking it down the middle. He was looking like Michael Vick.
That man looked like Cam Newton in Auburn, bro. He would just take his own read to the house for like 60 yards, dog. I was like, yeah,
that's the only bad thing about calling games. When something like that happened, you don't even know what to say.
I got up and walked out of there.
You got to sit there. You got to talk about it after the game. We're like, man, it's a tough call.
I got up and left. I couldn't watch this shit. Nope.
Yeah, that was terrible. I tried to delete it out of my memory. That's probably why I didn't mention it. It was bad.
It's about that time, though, man.
It is about that time.
Who lying first?
Yeah, who we going with first? We'll go alphabetical order. Mr. Jerry, you on the clock? All right, let's look at y'all's schedule.
Let's look at it.
All right, so y'all open the season up with South Florida.
We're not gonna win that game. Keep going.
All right,
I'm realistic. I mean,
you know what? I appreciate the honesty. Hadn't had a lot of that around here lately. Mercer.
I think that's a very
and it's
that's a
home.
Critical game for us. Obviously, Mercer last year was a playoff team. They won a playoff game last year, but they lost their coaching staff, and they had half the roster hit the portal on the way out. So we have no idea what they're going to be. None. You know, like I said, playoff team, but new coaching staff and a whole new roster. So I think, you know, getting them in Daytona, letting them come down and deal with, you know, the humidity and that sort of thing that in Florida in early September. So, it's a toss up, right? Really don't have a way. There's no way to handicap that game with the roster, because you don't know the roster. You don't know. So, you know, that's a toss up right now.
It's a possible. I'm just saying, you know, we go by Spade's rules. So it's a possible.
It's a possible.
Air two is a win. All right. I just want to give everybody a fair warning. All right. Western Michigan at Western Michigan.
Kalamazoo. Yeah, again, that's another FBS program. We got to travel all the way up there. That's uncomfortable. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's hard to win those games. So, you know, realistically, from an analyst hat, that's not a game that you expect to win.
Gotcha. Clark Atlanta at home.
They have no shot. That's a win. Okay.
All right. Alabama State at home.
This is where it starts to get interesting, right? Because the way I look at our schedule, if you see how it's set up from here on out when we get to the SWAC, we're playing teams by state, right? We get one home, we're playing one on the road. So we get the Bama schools. We're going to split them. You know, we need to at least split them is what I'm saying. That's the way I look at this roster. I say we split the Alabama schools. Alabama State, again, I'm having a hard time handicapping anybody in this conference, because we know how good Andrew Boddy can be at quarterback. We know how what his potential is. He has the potential to be the SWAC Offensive Player of the Year. Do we trust that with their offensive weapons? Do we trust that with their head coach, who is defensive-minded and has a tendency to keep everybody in the game? Or are they going? Is he going to turn it over to the offensive coordinator that he brought in and let him do his thing and leave it alone? I think Alabama State going to be a coin toss with everybody, you know? And so we owe them one. They've beat us 3 years in a row. I think that they hadn't beat us in like 20, 30-something years. So for the sake of sounding rational, I'm going to say Alabama State's favorite for that game. I'm going to give it to them.
Okay. All right. Next up, you go to you come to Huntsville for Alabama A&M's homecoming.
Yeah, like I said, we'll split every one of the states. Mm-hmm. That's our win. And said, we'll. I think we'll go in that game. I don't trust Maynard. And so if he was smart, he'll turn around and get a ball to Eglin, you know, and let that be his offense. But he's got too much pride. He's a quarterback at heart. He's going to throw the ball all over the yard. And he's going to put himself in some. So we'll win that game. I think I have that marked as a win in my calendar just because – I don't think you can trust the coach.
All right. Next up, you got Mississippi Valley State.
Yeah. This ain't one of their possibles. I don't care what homeboy said.
Oh, no. They go, if I'm telling you, Valley play Valley style of football, they can win. I'm just saying. I'm repeating what he said. Anyway,
what you got there?
Valley not winning that game.
All right. So there you go. That's a double. That's a double. All right. Jackson State.
We get Jackson State for our homecoming. Mm-hmm. So ooh. Again, I'll what do I think can happen versus what do I say where the odds stack right now? Right now, the analytics say that's the Jackson State win. We get them from homecoming, we'll see what happens. I'll go ahead and lean that one towards Jackson State.
No. I mean, I'm just saying, if y'all play y'all brand, all right, never mind. Let's move on.
No, I'm gonna be realistic.
Grambling at home.
Grambling and Southern. We there we go. Now we got the Louisiana school. We're gonna beat one of them. So, man, Grambling last year, I was so impressed with their skill players, and I'm thank God they gone. So I'm glad they that was the best set of skill players in the SWAC last year. Period. Those boys were ridiculous, and so they gone now. So we get them in Daytona. I gave homecoming the opposite way. I'm gonna have to keep one Daytona because right now I don't have any Daytona wins on the board. So yes. So we got to win some game at home. But Grambling it is. Bring it on. I think the last four they won last year. We won the three prior against them. Mm-hmm. It's time for us to get back on top of that one. Sorry, all OJ. Right. That's a win.
Oh, man, look. Hey, we all got our own sides. I might all say right. A little something different. I am.
All right. At Southern.
Yeah, it's Baton time Rouge. For us to beat. Yeah, it is time for us to beat. We got to go to Baton Rouge. That's never easy to go to Mumford. I mean, you know, they make it very uncomfortable for you up there. But I don't have no confidence in Southern this year. I just don't. I think so. I know people kind of looking into them. I think Southern rebuilding more than what they probably they resting on their history. What I see from Southern right now, I don't see a ready-made team ready to go out and win the West like some people are predicting. I don't see it. So That's just me. I don't see it. That's you know. So that's a win.
All right, Texas Southern.
Nah, we're gonna beat Texas Southern.
All right. Y'all
on the win last year. I get Grambling had the best offensive skill players I saw last year. Mm-hmm. To me, as far as starting 22, 11 on either side, I thought Texas Southern might have been the most talent. If they FAMU, you got to give it to FAMU. But Texas Southern, like they had a dude at every position on both sides of the ball, mm-hmm. or two or three. Their running back room was great. Their receiver room was great. They had a big offensive line. The backup quarterback who came in for Boddy played well. They defense was – I mean, I thought Texas – I can't believe their record is what it wound up being last year. Those dudes they had some athletes. So I'm saying all that to say, if they couldn't win with those guys, you know, I think they're going to be in for a world of hurt this year. So.
All right. So y'all on a win streak now. Y'all on a win streak. Y'all got three. Then you going. That's going into the Florida Classic.
Take Lord on FAMU. Jesus. You want me to? I mean, how you handicap this game?
So I mean, if we being real, they got a new head coach.
Yeah,
they got a new quarterback.
A lot of transfers.
A lot of transferred out.
Y'all got
FAMU's biggest problem. They got a lot. Okay, they got a lot of talent coming in.
Yeah,
FAMU's biggest issues last year. I know who the offensive player of the year was last year in the SWAC, but if you actually watch FAMU games, the offensive player of the year was Willie Simmons. Willie Simmons, that man covered and basically nurtured Jeremy Moose. He put that man in a lot of positions to be successful because Jeremy Moose would go out there and make some bad plays, and Willie would go and start calling things up. Well, that's gone now. On the other side of the ball, they had Smitty, who's probably the best defensive coordinator in the conference. He gone to Murray State. I guess that's why Valley gonna lose to them. But
I'm just, hey, I mean,
he at Murray State, so Valley gonna lose to them. So it's not just that. It's not just the departure of the talent, but now they lost both their coordinators, and both their coordinators weren't just good coordinators; they were outstanding. So I think, you know, I'm gonna try to. This is what I'm gonna do. I'm a Bethune-Cookman fan. Bethune's gonna be the underdog in that game. That's my answer. How about that?
All right. So that's another possum.
That's another possible. That's two possibles.
That's two possibles. So that's another dub we're gonna add. I will say this. I know Will Davis in here. Kevin Rose Hill was in here earlier. Bethune-Cookman got the better board of trustees. I'm just gonna throw it out there. Y'all got the better board. So that's another.
Hey, we share two of those trustees.
Yeah, that's true.
Two of the guys on their trustee board, one of them's the president of ours. So, you know.
Yeah, so I'm adding these up. If my math is right, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, I'm saying 6 and 6 is what I'm going in realistically. I want 6. Do I think we can get more than that? Yeah, I do. Do I expect less than that? I'm saying a 500 year this year, a 500 season is the progress that I like to see in Woody.
And of course,
you know, we can go either way with that, but I'm predicting six.
Kevin said about the boys, I don't know, it's a draw.
It's a draw. we'll see you the third weekend in November. We got a long time for this, but right now, put me down for 6 or 6.
All right, OJ. Let's look at these. Let's look at the Tigers, Grambling Tigers. Y'all open up with ULL. I don't know why they try to go with that one L, but y'all open up with ULL. I know what you might say. I want to give you the win just because it's ULL. But go ahead.
Honestly, I think that if we do lose, it won't be by much. I think this will actually be a game to come out, especially what I'm expecting from this offense, from this defense, from this team in general. I feel like we're going to surprise a lot of people, especially a team like ULL. They, you know, a lot of times when we come down there, it's been in any situation, first game, we kind of go out there and play sluggish. But I think we'll come out there, and if anything, if we do lose, we'll lose with a chip on our shoulder to carry us throughout the rest of the season. But that one, I would say the final answer, we'll lose by three.
All right, then historic game, Tuskegee coming to the hole.
I think bell to A.
Mm-hmm.
they come down to Tuskegee. We're gonna show them what's up. I think that, you know, I personally seen Tuskegee play. I just think there's a whole bigger atmosphere. I think that, I think that's a dub for us.
All right, next up, you got Texas A&M Commerce.
Oh, yes, that's another win. Man, we played them, we've seen them before. We'll label that as a dub.
All right, now we get to the good stuff, Jackson State. At home.
Ooh. Night game in the hole.
This is going to be a tough one. And I feel like Jackson State always gives us tough games. But I will feel lesser of the winning side if we were going to their house. But us being home, I think we'll have to give it to Grambling State University. I just think that it's going to be a very seesaw game. I think a lot of games this season may be either very seesaw or just a pull away. So I don't think there will be any middles in any case. I think that we're going to be fighting a lot, especially in a hole. I know how Grambling is. We're going to have something that we're missing. We might come in thinking we have everything, and we might have a safety mitt. We're gonna have something, but we always been able to make it work, especially in the hole. So, I think Jackson State, they might take that L.
All right. Prairie View at State Fair Classic.
This has been a tough game for us for the last 5 years. I mean, but Dooley, we didn't win at all. I mean, last year, I'm kind of all of them meshing together. Last year, we didn't – I think we did win. Did we win against
them? Yeah, that was the first one.
We won. So, with that being said, I think that we have a big target on our back end when it comes to Texas. Texas teams in general, Texas Southern, I mean, PVA and them. But I think we'll go into that winning that one as well. Year two, I think that we can have another one. And I think that we win actually by – 10.
Ooh, okay.
Last year they won by
15. I'm confident about it. I haven't been like this much. Trust me, this is not something that's been all. This is new. I have full confidence in that one.
All right, Alcorn home.
Now that Alcorn last season, that they're somebody on our map. That's what I'll say. We're a lot of people target, but we have a lot of teams that target. That's one of them. That's the first one that we'll be playing that's really targeted. At home, I think – I know this is – we're steamrolling with wins, but I'm giving that one another win just off the revenge factor alone. That one point stings. There's a lot of people that's lost, but there's a lot of people that's coming back as well. That'll probably have more of a bigger factor in this team than they did last year. I think that one's going to leave a taste in our mouth, and I think that we're also going to win that one.
All right. Homecoming, UAPB.
UAPB, that one, I think at homecoming we may struggle. That's the sad thing. I think we may struggle a little bit against UAPB. But I hate to say it. I have a bad feeling about it.
You will not say no damn loss to UAPB, bro.
I'm not saying we'll lose, but I'm saying that game UAPB at home, win. I think a lot of people are going to think blowout, right? Yeah. I don't think so. That if we win, I don't think that it's going to be too much of a big blowout. I think UAPB is in that situation a lot of times when they feel disrespected. When they feel disrespected, I feel like they come out swinging a lot. So I feel like, you know, I give UAPB their respect. But I think that we'll end up winning, but it won't be no blow away. That's what I was trying to say. And I'm not trying to say that. Well, you know, but I have a feeling like we're going to run away with this one. No.
Yeah. Man, Zach, see, ain't no way Grambling going to compete with ULL and struggle with UAPB.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Hey, I think the first game.
He lying.
I'm the one lying. Oh, dang.
All right. Here we go. Texas Southern in Houston.
Texas Southern in Houston. I'm gonna give that one a loss. Actually, I'm gonna actually give that one a loss. Yeah, all Texas right. Southern. Last time we went down to Texas Southern, I know Andrew Boddy's not there. But I mean, it even without Andrew Boddy, the atmosphere, it was a lot of reasons why we lost that game. 45-7 is a big loss. And it was because of not just the way they were dominating us as well, but I think the whole atmosphere of it, I mean, man, it was pretty tough. So I think that it won't be a 45-7 loss, but I don't think we'll come out of there with a win.
All right. At Bethune-Cookman.
All right, now I remember what you said, but I think last time we went to Bethune-Cookman, we got outplayed. Honestly, we did. We came down there. A lot of aspects that Bethune-Cookman, I felt like, surprised us a lot of things. I mean, they passed the ball very well. Their defense was just All 11 hats was at the ball. I think that they're all honestly juiced up when they're there. I wanted to go against the contrary with the Bethune-Cookman and saying that we'll have a win in that one. But I honestly think that, especially being home, the traveling, a lot of the guys, I remember doing interviews, a lot of guys complained about the big travel to Bethune-Cookman as well. So that could be also a factor. A lot of things come into factors later in the season. I think that one will be a loss.
All right. Alabama State. At home.
Last year, I mean, six to 17 was the game. Was in Mobile. But the difference is Alabama State kicked it up just a little bit more with this quarterback. And Andrew Boddy, a lot of people have a lot of different takes on Andrew Boddy. I feel like he's a good quarterback. I feel like we don't know what he can be at Alabama State. We haven't, you know, Alabama State has birthed a lot of – we've been able to get Miles Crawley from Alabama State. But Andrew Boddy and the way he plays, we haven't seen that kind of style Alabama State in quite some time. And I think that that might kind of give us problems along with that defense Alabama State has consistently every year. It's a really tough defense. It's a very locked down defense. Along with that offense, I think we might come out of there where we having a losing streak coming up to the Bayou Classic.
All right. Alabama A&M in Huntsville.
Alabama A&M is always a tough team for us every year. I mean, prior to the loss that we had last year at homecoming, we lost to them 37-31 in an overtime game the year prior to that. So Alabama A&M has been able to call our number plenty of times, and it's just their style of play. Everything that we're not really good at, they have been able to be good at. Like, passing has been a really good thing for them the last few years, and that's where they've been killing us the last few years. I think that since they call our number so much with Mickey Johnson, I think that we will be able to come out of this with a win, but it'll be a very tough one, especially being in Alabama and Huntsville. It's always a tough game, but I think that that one we'll be able to turn the tide around and cut our losing streak.
Yeah, I think I might be at that one too. Mm-hmm. I actually might be at both the games y'all play when against Alabama and them. Bayou Classic. Listen, they ain't have a coach for real last year.
Oh yeah.
They ain't have a team. Well, nah, they had a team. They pulled it out the year before that. But Bayou Classic.
You know, Graves is a distant family member of mine. Yeah, that don't matter. I think that we at Southern at any time, anywhere. I think this year we definitely, I mean, a lot of things that we were missing. I think that exactly what Mickey Joseph and Dooley brings in, and let's not forget where Dooley just came from. You know, so I think with all those factors tying in, this is a big game. Mickey Joseph knowing that this is the biggest game of the year from every year. Every year, this is the big, and I don't think in his first year that he's going to come in playing games at the Bayou Classic. I think this is going to be a one in a bag for us.
All right. If my math serves me correct, that's 8-4.
I'm standing on it. Maybe a give or take, but I'm standing on it. I think Mickey Joseph could have a good year, but if not, this is year zero. I think that either way that he will have a good year. Even if it's not 8-4, even if it's a little lesser than that, I think that this year will be ground zero for him, and that he will establish himself in the SWAC as who he is and what Grambling identity will be for the next few years.
Yeah, D-Law says somebody lying. Yeah, at the end of the, I'm telling you, when we do our recap show, we gonna look at all.
Yeah, I gotta bring you back too, because
we'll talk about what went wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. But we're gonna do a show before the season start, right? Media day, the night before media day. We definitely gotta talk about some of these teams. And I'm not saying that about Grambling or Bethune, but it's a lot of these numbers that ain't adding up. Everybody
going 8-4.
8-4, 9-3, 10-2.
Yeah. Hey, look. But at the same time, it's going to be wear and tear. A lot of things that we expected may not be. We wish the best on every player, every team. But what we look like now is not what we're going to look like in midseason for all of us. So, what we expected now will change. It probably will. But from what we're seeing right now, I'm standing with that.
Yeah. Delaware State probably the most honest team so far. Zero and a possum.
Zero and a possum. Hey, quick, you guys, I know you're gonna do your wrap up show at Media Day, and but is there a, I mean, when you look around the SWAC right now, is mm-hmm. there a clear cut? This is the this is number one team in the conference. Yeah. You know, the last couple of years has been, you know, we knew last year FAMU was going to be the team to beat. Mm-hmm. Well, 2 years before that, we knew Jackson State, you know, was going to be the team to contend with, you know, with some other guys who can maybe press them. But, you know, I mean, Alcorn had their run for it. You knew they were going to be there. I don't ever remember looking at SWAC or the MEAC and being so up in the air and like, I have no idea who's going to win the East. I have no idea who's going to win the West. I can make an argument for probably three or four teams on both sides.
Exactly.
But it's you know, so the parity is good. No, now everybody can't end up 10-1 or 10-2.
Yeah.
But we might have a whole bunch of 6-6 teams.
But that's why a lot of us probably are having 8-4, because it's such a toss-up. Like I've been working with the SWAC for at least ever since I came in 2017. It's been where you have an eye a hierarchy. When I was coming in, Grambling was. I mean, with Kincaid and Montez Carter, there was a hierarchy. Then a few years later, Deion comes in. There's a hierarchy there. And then Florida A&M last year. This time coming around, there's nobody we could really point out and say, all right, you guys are going to be the top of the West or the East. We don't have an idea. So right now, it's really a toss-up. Any of these records could be spot on, or they could be completely off. This year is all about toss-ups, and whoever really takes it, it's not about anything else. It's all for the taking right now.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I ain't gonna reveal it yet. I had a favorite probably January, so Ant was like, bruh, it's January. It might even be in December. He's like, bruh, it's December. I was like, listen, I think they gonna take it. We started doing these and started going around, and I'm like, I don't know. There's a couple teams. I'll say this. I see Kevin. He says no clear cut. There's a top tier in the East. The West is always a mess. I'm gonna be honest. I kind of felt like FAMU lost too much, but then they start bringing people back in slowly and surely, and it's like maybe we reacted a little too fast.
Yeah, maybe. So, but also, Jackson State hasn't done that.
Exactly. Jackson,
on the honest side of it. I mean, mm-hmm. Jackson State is always a team that's either second, third, they're up there. And they have done, I will say, if not, they've done just as good a job to make sure they stay in the contention of everything. Mm-hmm. I just feel like, especially with this year, recruiting everything's so quiet. Everything's, mm-hmm. A lot of more times you'll hear, all right, we got this guy coming. Everybody's keeping hush on things, I feel like, this year. So right now, the talent, I think that we have an idea, but we may not really.
I think it's so hard with the portal. Like, getting good players is one thing.
Yeah.
Getting the guys that fit your system is something totally different. Correct. It's like you got to – it's not just – you know, you can bring in 8 of the best DBs, and you can only put 4 of them on the field at one time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so it's are you getting the right guys that fit the needs that you have? And that, you know, we know that when we start playing football. Like, at some point, you know, we are a month and a half out from playing football. I'll be glad when we get to play football. I like talking about it. I love talking about it. But nothing is like when you strap it up and see a dude get hit in the nose and how he respond. Like, at some point, you know, you got to – you get a hat on a hat and see if a dude want to be there and play. And we don't know that until you start playing. And so I was just curious just to see what you guys thought.
It's
that a lean one way.
Yeah. I'm gonna be honest. And this might be, you know, people might take this out of context. I think Bethune might play a part in
6-6. Keep us right there.
No. And this is why I say that. All it takes is for y'all to get a upset win here or there, and all of a sudden the East is shook up. That's all I'm saying. That's how I think that we always know. People talk about the West and how wild it is. I think it's gonna start to settle a little bit on the West side. But I think the East is about to start seeing that shake up.
The West gonna come down to the last weekend, like always.
Always, it's the Wild Wild West on
our. And I'm not saying the Bayou Classic. You know what I mean? Yeah. For a while, the Bayou Classic did determine who won the West or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That last weekend, I think it's still gonna be up for grabs, and it's gonna be played out on the field that last weekend.
Ain't nothing new.
Yeah, I agree. Let me ask this, because I didn't ask this before. I know we went through the scheduling. Y'all talked about the different teams. Outside of your rivals, outside of the Bayou Classic, outside of Florida Classic, OJ, what team or what game do you have circled on the calendar? Jared, what game do you have circled on the calendar? Since Jared did the schedule first, OJ, I'll let you go.
A game that I always have circled on my calendar, it's a home game, but Alcorn State every year. Every year, I think that especially just like not even the football aspect. I like to look beyond the fans, everything they bring to it is a game that I love. Second game I'll throw a second is Jackson State as well. I always look forward to playing against Jackson State and what they bring in and just the games. I think every time we play against Alcorn, last year was a great game. We lost by one, but
right.
If it was the win by one. That would have probably been the best game I've ever seen in my life. But at the same time, that those games, Jackson State and Alcorn games, those are something that you feel like more than just the football. You feel the HBCU environment. You feel the, you know, togetherness. Yes. You know, we might be against each other on the other sides of each other, but it feels like a right place. It feels like the place where everybody kind of, you know, we hate each other, but we love each other type stuff. So I those are games I always have circled. It's great to commentate them because you kind of get fed off the crowd and everything. So, yeah, I look forward to those.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Jair.
Yeah, I think, you know, just the way our schedule's set up, I think the game that I'm most looking forward to is Alabama State. You know, and that's because that's our first SWAC game. You know, and again, as I mentioned just a minute ago, at some point, you just got to prove it. I think that Alabama State will come out of Media Day being picked to win the East. I think that's just my presumption is that because people will, I think people will think that they're the top team. If not top, they'll be the second team, and they'll pick Jackson State, which those are the two games. But just because of how our schedule set up, if we go out, take care of business at home against Alabama State, who I told you guys was a loss originally, but that game is super important. If we win that game, it changes that belief on the inside. And asked earlier, how do you win those close games? Well, you got to go win them. So you win that game against a team that people think well of, I think that's momentum behind that. And then Jackson State, because if it's not Alabama State pick to win the East, it's going to be Jackson State pick, I think, coming out of Media Day. And that's our homecoming. So those are the two games I have circled because of what I think it means from a momentum, from a belief standpoint. And if we get, you know, if we take care of business on those two games, then Pooh Bear, I think you might, you know,
I feel you. And you got anything else? I'm gonna ask them. I'm gonna do a variation of my question.
Go ahead,
that I always. All right, so we all know college football is coming back. Jerry, you got your game headset. I already know what you're gonna be doing for the next, you know what I'm saying, when it come out. But I'm gonna ask this. I typically ask, you know what I'm saying, what feature are you most looking forward to? Everybody saying dynasty mode and stuff. So I'm gonna switch it up. What HBCU team, or not team, but what HBCU, if they were in the game, what HBCU player would be the highest rated?
Ooh.
About this current year?
Mm-hmm.
Current year?
Oof. HBCU player.
Mm.
That's a good question.
If you asked me, like, previous year,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. This year?
That's a tough,
like you said, like a lot of these guys that we are expecting to see, we have to see them strap up.
I think when you consider how many transfers, it makes it difficult.
Even from last year, how many guys got to prove themselves? I mean, Charlie, Andrew Boddy. I mean, there's a lot of guys that kind of ended off the last year with a lot of things to be left to said and all this other stuff. So, I mean, that's a huge toss up on who could be like a 99 or overall or anything like that. You know, that's a tough one to say. Tough one to say.
You know what? I'm stumped.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's one you gotta let people think about ahead.
My bad. That might have been too heavy. Yeah. Will Davis said Kendall Bowler. I wonder why you said that, Will.
Let me ask you this, since that was a little heavy of a question. If you could play with any HBCU team in the game, like let's say 2015 Grambling, you know, whatever the case may be, what team would you pick?
Steve McNair at Alcorn State.
Ooh.
I always wanted to kind of see what that would be like. Just to, you know, that's the first initial reaction. Yeah. Where I would even go back.
That's a good one.
Sweetness with Jackson State.
Mm. Mm.
You know, I'll go back as far as that, you know, just to get the overall feel. Because you can only
Eric McNair. Eric McNair might. Yeah, I wouldn't think. Yeah. And that's a great answer, though.
Yeah, man. That is.
You can't beat that answer. I mean, they average 70 points a game?
Yeah,
that's crazy, man.
That's what I'm saying. What other video game like team could we even name here? You can't even say Jackson State. They didn't do nothing like that.
No, that was
with Shador and all that. I mean, no,
that's a good answer. I think that's the right answer.
D-Law went way back. He said he went Tecmo Bowl almost. He said Willie Tynan and Jerry Rice.
Mississippi Valley State. I mean, that ain't a bad pick too, though.
It's not
a bad pick too. I mean, you could go. I was just saying between the realms of like a video game. There is nobody close to what Steve McNair did to me. Yeah. In the HBCU world, I mean, Alcorn State, knowing that, you know, and then he went on to the NFL, did the same thing, was still able to do his thing. So I would love, that would be my first answer every time. If they could bring a specific team, they could bring that one too.
Yeah, and it was those Mississippi Valley teams that averaged something like 70 points a game.
Jerry Rice and them.
I got a little excited there, but I mean, you can't go wrong. What are you talking? You're talking about Jerry Rice's teammate there. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. You know, it's hard to beat that. So,
yeah. All right. Well, fellas, look, it's been fun. Definitely going to have to bring y'all back more this year. Jerry, we talked to you for the preview show, and then, you know, we talked in chats and stuff. So we'll have to get you and Steven back on during the season. But before y'all go, give y'all opportunity, Mr. Jerry, tell the people where they can find you.
Hey, you can find me at hellwildcats.com. You can find me on socials at hellwildcats. Trying to bring you Bethune-Cookman football from a fan's perspective. We try to be reasonable around here and give honest critiques and honest opinions about what's going on. And just keep everybody, you know, kind of abreast of what's going on in Daytona. And hopefully we bring you some good content throughout the year.
Yeah, also tell the people if y'all have a collective and stuff where they can donate.
Absolutely. There's a collective. It's the collective is the 1923 Society. You can donate. You can find them online at 1923society.com. There's an NIL there. They're doing very good work there. They've raised quite a bit of money. So a lot of those guys that are coming to Bethune, they're coming because they like it. They're coming because we got a beach, and that's great. And they also come because we got some NIL money. But if you want to help contribute, you know, you certainly can. And donate there, and we would appreciate that.
All right, OJ, same to you. Tell the people where they can find you, and if you shout out the collective or however you want to do it.
Oh yeah, you guys can find me on OJ for the Win on Instagram. Most of the time when I call the games, I commentate. I'll go on live on there. So if you guys follow me out throughout the season, I'll be able to go live and show you guys from the press box some of the game. Don't really have any of a collective or anything like that. But if you guys want to follow anything else on us, of course, me and Ant are on 97.7. We also do the Grambling Sports Radio show from there. You just type in Grambling Sports Radio. It'll be right there. You guys can tune into the game wherever you guys are.
All right, and tell the people why they need to donate Well, fellas, man, listen, it's been fun. I truly appreciate it. Edwin came in a little bit late. Appreciate you for even coming in, though. He said Terrence Levy Southern, a Rice at Valley, Carr Blue Jackson State. My bad. Grambling with the quarterback from Dallas Skyline.
That's Kincaid.
Kincaid. I was about to say, yeah, Kincaid and Martez Carter. That would have been a nice.
Hey, I still say, if he don't get hurt versus Arizona, bro, we still talk about.
Talking about one of the greatest HBCU games ever.
Yep, because it was domination until to that point.
Yep.
Yeah, man, things weren't meant to be, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. We just hold on to what who Howard upset that year?
UNLV.
Oh, we got a couple FBS wins too in Daytona. Like
Okay.
Yeah, so a couple.
I don't know if you what you see.
I think it's possible Jackson State get one this year.
Yeah, you know. I'm saying I don't know what USF looks like, but if they look like what they look like the last couple of years, Jerry, y'all might be celebrating again.
Yeah,
I don't want to put that pressure on you.
No, I get it. If I had more confidence in our offensive line, I said we play that game close. Just when your offensive line is not solid, you take the extra scholarships show up. I mean, you see it. You know, and so you can hang a little bit, but you know, right, that depth start to wear on you in the trenches.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll be back. I don't know if we'll do because it's 4th of July. I don't know if we'll do it. I doubt we do a show.
I'm drunk if we do a show Thursday. I ain't gonna lie to you. So you take that risk if you want to.
Shit, don't threaten me with a good time. But we'll be back. I know we'll definitely be back on Monday. I think we might have to squeeze, try to see if we can get Southern on that night since they missed. We might be able to get UAPB if I can find, because somebody sent us a recommendation for some people to talk
D-Live about. D-Live need to get on here and talk.
D-Live ain't going to talk about it. He'll be lying. He's going to be
the first person in the swag to say they're going undefeated.
All right. Hey, I'm gonna say it one more time. Do us a favor, subscribe, like, and share. Hit that, help us hit that 1K. We like 90 something people away, 91, something like that. Like I said, if you like it, you know what I'm saying, hit it, tell somebody about it. If you don't like it, tell your friends, and both of y'all come back and tell us how bad we did. But you know what I'm saying, make sure you subscribe first. But that's all we got. And like that, we at.
This show was presented by BetOnline.ag.
Bring me my money.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.